know. Hip, hip, hooray. For all the class they show.
One 800 449 8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Mr. Marka, thank you for joining us on such late notice, because I know you're concerned about Madonna's appearance in the Los Angeles area and across the country. And I got to tell you, it's a little interesting. She's sort of an established star.
Well, I understand she's an established star, sir, but I also know that I have nothing against gay people or the gay belief system, but I'm tired of having a gay lifestyle shoved down my throat. I think everybody listening to your program right now that is a family value person, is a family loving person, is a Christian, is tired of having the gay and homosexual lifestyle shoved down our throat.
I don't get the whole gay Madonna tie-in, okay? This is a mother. This is a she's a heterosexual.
Well, I believe it's well known that Madonna is very big among the gay community, and they like her. They like her shows. Her music speaks to the gay set. You mentioned lack of Into the Groove.
That's the song I'm playing right now.
All right, and also Lucky Star. All this music is danceable. It's heard in discos. These are places where the gay and those that assist the gay go to spread what they know.
Are you familiar with her music?
I'm very familiar with her music. When she first came out, I thought that her music was interesting and very listenable. I began thinking about the gay lifestyle, and that maybe it wasn't so bad, and I began to investigate, and I began to read up on it, and something happened in my life that could have turned me in a very wrong direction, a very bad direction. Her album, Like a Virgin, come out in November of 1984. In December of 1984, on Christmas Eve, I had one of two homosexual experiences in my life.
You can't... Sir,
please hear me out.
But, sir, you can't blame Madonna for that.
I believe that my exposure to the homosexual lifestyle...
Madonna's not a homosexual.
But Madonna... If I could just be allowed to finish, sir, I promise I'll... You're the talk show host today.
I'm not trying to dominate the airwaves here. Believe me, I don't get the tie-in between Madonna, you listening to her music...
It was November of 1984 that I first heard Into the Groove. I love that song, and to this day I still love that song. But by Christmas Eve, I was having gay sex with Mr. William Kiesling, who's a very dear friend of mine still.
Are you sexually involved with him still?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm a straight man. I'm a husband.
I don't mean to bother you. Excuse my language, folks. I don't mean to bother you, but you say he's still a friend.
He is still a friend of mine. We both regret that we ever heard this music or got exposed to this. Because you got to understand that Madonna is a young woman who wears underwear on the outside of her clothing. So brassieres, panties, the brassiere panty combination, the bustier, crotchless, non-crotchless, some of the skin-tight spandex. She wears all the garter belts, or if you will, what they call suspenders in Britain. All this is worn on the outside. She's the one that started all this. And yet straight men think she is ugly. They don't find her attractive. So what does that all add up to?
Well, there's a few straight guys that find her attractive. The guys that have been involved in her life, her husband, Warren Beatty.
Well, but straight men, the audience, only gays and those that assist the gay community and those that promote the gay agenda and teenage girls go to see Madonna.
You tried gay sex. I want to keep focusing on this. You tried gay sex twice.
I tried it twice. That's because I wanted to be sure that I was informed on the subject. I didn't want to jump to any conclusions.
And you feel you're not gay now?
I'm not gay. I have a 16-year-old son. We raced dune buggies on a weekend. My wife was a teacher. I love heterosexual sex now more than ever before. But it was my initial exposure to Madonna that made me have, I believe, a homosexual experience. I fear no man as I walk into the valley of the shadow of the... Jesus, I forgot that.
Into the valley of the shadow of death?
Yeah. into the valley of the death. I fear no evil, and I speak no evil, and I hear no evil.
That's what the three monkeys said.
Sir, I, again, my Lord is Jesus.
I speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil is what three apes talked about.
Three apes.
That's the thing, the monkeys. Let's get back to what we're talking about. I want to get back to you saying you tried gay sex and you blame it on Madonna.
Yes, I do.
All right. We got people blaming Beavis and Butthead, Jackass, Judas Priest, Ozzy Osbourne for the misdeeds of their children or themselves. What makes you any different?
Well, I'm not talking about those cases, am I?
But blaming the media for their actions...
Mr. Henry...
No, blaming television and violence for Columbine. I blame the movies for bank robberies that go wrong. Blame rap music for the mistreatment of women and police. And now you come along and you blame Madonna for the fact that you had a homosexual experience.
Listen to me, please. In November 1984, the album Like a Virgin was released. By December of 84... And
how old are you, by the way?
I'm 50.
So you were what, 34?
I was 34, but I've always been a fan of music, yeah.
Okay, so Christmas, you had gay sex.
I spent Christmas Eve decorating a tree with Bill Kiesling. We exchanged gifts. I believe I didn't even know myself. I woke up Christmas morning after a night of gay sex on Christmas Eve, which is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And you see how seductive Madonna is, that she would make me have not just sex on Christmas Eve, which all Christians abstain from sex on Christmas Eve, but I had gay sex. That, to me, is what I...
Well, blaming Madonna, you still haven't made the tie-in.
I believe I have.
Open my mailbox, and I get a email from Marty of E. Y'all know Marty's E Entertainment page. Oh, that's a good page. If I had more time, I'd read that every day. Every time I go there, I have a good time. I see a bunch of stuff, and I keep reading, and then I realize, oh, crap, I got work to do, and I have to leave. But maybe someday when I'm in the old folks' home, maybe someday if I make it to the old folks' home, I'll have time to go back and read some of Marty's old pages. But she sent me this link. It's written by a bad guy over at rightwingnews.com. You know right away you're dealing with a bunch of monkeys, but I thought it was an interesting article. The title is, Who Says There's No Money in Blogging? Written by John Hawkins. Don't know John. Who says there's no money in blogging? The number of advertisers working with blog ads dropped off a lot after the election, but it has really started to pick back up as of late. In fact, there are now a number of blogs that seem to be making enough money to eke out a living. Furthermore, because of the open system blog ads uses, you can get a rough idea how much money some of these blogs are making. Last night I went through, took the number of ads each blogger had, multiplied it by what they charge per week, and came up with some rough estimates of how much loot they're raking in. Keep in mind that blog ads take 20% off the top, and that the numbers you see will likely be a bit high because the amount bloggers charge per ad usually drops if advertisers buy ads for longer periods, either 2 weeks or a month. That being said, just look at these numbers. Some of these numbers will shock you. We'll start at the bottom. Matthew Iglesias makes $500 a week. I don't know Matthew. I guess I should look him up. The Raw Story makes $600. Powerline makes $900. Whizbang makes $950. Have we heard of any of these? Little Green Footballs makes $1,000 a week. My DD makes $1,000 a week. Political Wire makes $1,100 a week. Wonkette, who I've heard of, makes $11.50. The Smirking Chip, my good friends over at Smirking Chip, $13.50 a week. Not bad, not bad. Political Animal, who's advertised, unless I'm mistaken, on BarkUp.com, $14.30. Hugh Hewitt, who I think I've heard the name, $1,500 a week. Andrew Sullivan, known whore, and he's not a blogger. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to keep saying it. If you're a millionaire asshole and you get on a computer, you're not a blogger. The definition of a blogger is a nobody who's got a page that people started reading. If Tim Russert picks up a computer tomorrow and has imanasshole.com, he's not a blogger. He's just an asshole who's got a computer. Now, I bet he needs to get up with that. Okay. Eskashan, which is our good buddy Atrios, 2,000 a week. Wow. Instapundit, not sure I've heard of them, but I might have, 2,100 a week. Talking Points Memo, Joshua Michael Marshall, 3,000 a week. Daily Cause, almost 7,000 a week. Is that crazy? 7,000 a week? My good math, times 52 weeks, that's about 300. That's a third of $1 million a year. Now, geez, you'd think when you hit a third of $1 million a year, all of a sudden you become pro-life. You think the war in Iraq is good. You're all for tax cuts. Now, I'm not accusing Daily Cause of this. I'm just saying I commend these people that can keep their head if he's making a third of $1 million off the ads. More power to him. I mean, yeah, we should never. It's always wrong to, what's the phrase? You don't want to punish success. That would be wrong. Daily Cause, I'm sure, works hard. He probably works hard as hell, and I'm not sure if he's a he or he's a they, but 7,000 a week. As a matter of fact, I clicked on that, and I went to Daily Cause, and it says on Daily Cause that one fella, if you go to the advertising page, it says one fella paid $7,000 in 1 week to advertise on his page. Now, I think someone told me he gets 2 million hits either a day or a week. That's probably a week. Because I think Drudge only gets 2 million. He's real big. So 2 million hits a week translates into $7,000. Wow. That's a, well, he can buy a new car every month. That's a lot of money. I thought you had to be a diddle monkey to make that kind of cash in politics. And I guess he didn't include BarkUp.com in that list because we only charge $60 to run a 2-day ad. I mean, I guess if we could get more than $60 per ad, we would. But shouldn't there be a place for the little guy to advertise to? Remember, 4 years and a week ago, we advertised with Salon.com, and we had to give them, what was it, $1,200 or $1,400 before they would even talk to us. That's the slowest thing they had. That's the very bottom of scraping the barrel. I forget, it was either $1,400 or $1,200, somewhere in there. And that was for that rotating stuff where you click on there, and for $1,200, $1,300, I didn't see my ad, and I'm going, hey, what's the deal? And they said, oh, you have to keep clicking to finally see your ad, and I think, oh, no wonder you get all those hits over at Salon.com. They make the advertisers and all their friends sit there and click again and again and again and again and again before they see the damn ad. That's crazy. And in full confessional mode, we don't do the rotating things here because we don't have any damn idea at all how to do that. We'd probably take reading. I'd probably have to read a book on how to do a web page, and there ain't no time. This ain't no time. But yeah, here at BarkUp.com, we'll run your ad for $60 for a 2-day ad, and at that rate, we'd have to run 120 times more ads to make the kind of money some of our lefty friends are making. Can you believe $7,000 in 1 week, just one advertiser? Whoa. Another thing, on the old BarkUp.com, when I have no ads run, I run ads from the past, just because I hate to, if I start doing issues with no ads, people think, oh, he's ad-free, and then I'll start getting compliments. Thanks for going ad-free, and I don't want compliments like that. So I run ads from the past for free just to remind people that we do accept the advertising. So that proves numbers can lie. But suddenly I feel like a lot smaller fish here. 7,000 a week. Whoa. Hats off to Daily Cause. And I know what you're thinking. Bart, you're just jealous. Well, of course I'm jealous. These guys, not all of them, but some of them make 7,000 a week. Joshua Michael Markle, whatever his name is, 3,000 a week off his little dot-com here. I remember that one time Joshua Michael Marshall, he said he wanted to do something. He was going to buy a new computer or go to D.C. or he wanted to do something. He got $5,000 in donations in 1 day. In 1 day, he gets that kind of, am I jealous? Yes, I am very, very jealous. I am green with envy. If jealousy is a sin, then I'm a sinner. One of them commandments says, don't covet thy dot-com neighbor's income, and I am coveting. I am outright, openly, I'm out of the closet coveting here. But what I don't understand, how can they get those kinds of hits? They got no Shirley. They got no Chinako. They don't have any poker stories. They don't talk about U2 and 24 and football and Paris Hilton. How can they generate those kinds of hits without going to Vegas stories? I just don't understand it. How are they doing it? Oh, one other thing. Since we're talking about the competition, I wanted to say something, and I don't mean this as an attack. And please don't run over to the people I'm about to talk about and say, oh, did you hear BarkUp's vicious attack on you? This is more of an observation. And if you, the listener, has an explanation, please send it to me because I'm curious. But I notice how, let's take someone like Randy Rhoads. She never speaks ill, as far as what I've heard, about the Democrats. She won't ever say the Democrats are sackless pussies who refuse to do their jobs. She won't say something like that. And then I'll be darned. 10 minutes later, she'll have Joe Biden on the phone. And it kind of made me wonder. Let's put it another way. I guess if I always had senators on Bark Cop Radio, I guess I wouldn't be free to speak my mind either. And I'm not accusing anybody. I noticed this about Al Franken. Al Franken always has some senator or congressman or mayor or a Kennedy or somebody on his show. And Al Franken does not speak ill of the Democrats. And it's not that speaking ill of the Democrats is the point. It's that you're not, in my opinion, free to tell the truth if you got the guys coming on your show. How are you going to do that? Same for, and I thought of this, driving around the car today, I heard Ed Schultz, who a lot of you maybe don't know who Ed Schultz is, but he's on XM Radio in place of Randy Rhoads, to my horror. Nothing wrong with that, it's just he's not Randy. But Ed's the same way. He talked to somebody today, and he's got nothing bad to say about any Democrats. I mean, how can you be a radio commentator, how can you be a political commentator, and not have something to say about the Democrats' lack of spine? Isn't that the number one political story? Well, say the last 5 or 6 years, you got 9/11, you got Bush's rise to power, and you got the Democrats' refusal to engage. Those have to be the three biggest political stories of the last 5 or 6 years. Well, since impeachment, let's say. It just makes me wonder why it appears they are not free to speak their mind because they're always having these guys on the show. And I'm not saying that's prostitutism. I'm not saying that's incest. I'm not saying that's cronyism. But I guess I'm not saying it's not. But I wish Randy Rhoads and Al Franken and Big Ed, we got Big Ed, I wish they would address the question, are the Democrats doing enough? When they sit there and vote yes on everything Bush wants to do, and every time Bush wants to appoint a known, a convicted felon to be in charge of the privacy of every single American, and the Democrats will say, well, sure, go right ahead. We don't mind you appointing all the felons from your father's criminal Iran-Contra enterprise. We don't mind you, all these guys that needed pardons. No, we don't mind you putting them in the most sensitive positions in the history of the government. No, we don't mind at all. How can Al and Ed and Randy, how can they say that? How can they say that the Democrats are doing their job? And it just makes me wonder if maybe they aren't a little too close to the power brokers in Washington. I mean, again, not an attack. It's more of an observation, kind of a question. I'm hoping for clarification. But I would like to hear someone's opinion on that. Boy, if I mention something about piss Christ or torture or something, I get 1,000 people with opinions, and that's okay. We like the feedback, but sometimes when we ask for the feedback, we get zip. But I sure would like to get some feedback on this. Why do the big guys not ever pull the... Why do they never hold the Democrats' feet to the fire? And one possible explanation for that is they think the Democrats are doing a bang-up job, a smart job, a clever job. They're always on top of things, always ready to launch. The Democrats are a fighting machine, just ready to go at a second's notice and always effective and always win. As if that was the truth. So if somebody has an opinion on that, I'd love to hear it. got a snail mail letter, along with a nice donation. It's from a guy named Clay. And since Clay sent it, well, I'll tell you what I did at the end of the letter. Dear Bart, I'm just an old retired guy that likes your site. I don't get the radio program. Here is some money to help buy the hammer, to help keep the hammer swinging. I have been involved in local Democrat politics for years. There is one issue that is a killer for us in North Carolina, and that is the gun control issue. Just this past election, nothing was said until towards the end of the election. Then we all got letters and emails with Kerry's voting record on gun control. Before that, it was Al Gore. Before him, it was Harvey Gantt, a Senate race. Before that, it knocked Terry Sanford out of the Senate. If you really would like for the Democrats to win, you had to flip-flop on gun control. Well, moi would not need to flip-flop on gun control, because I've always thought, sure, if you live in a skyscraper in New York, you probably don't need a gun. But if you live outside of New York or L.A. or, if you don't have 1,000 people within screaming distance, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to have a gun. I've always thought guns were fun toys to have around the house. And so we would not need to flip-flop here. But, yes, the Democratic Party, they might have won. They probably would have won 2002 if they had been had a more realistic position on gun control. Anyway, back to his letter. We just cannot win with a gun control candidate. Go Howard Dean or anyone else that is free of the gun control disease. It is a killer. Thanks, Clay. So, yes, I agree, Clay. Gun control will kill us because first of all, that's why, besides we dare to be a friend to the black man and the gay man, the South hates the idea of gun control because, remember, they were invaded. And this is something I think only this year that's really hit my head. That one reason the South won't vote for a Northerner is because they were invaded by the North and they just don't feel like being invaded again. So they want to vote for someone that they think is from the South. They want to vote for someone who hates blacks or is from the South, one of the two. So since Clay does not get the radio, he didn't say why. I don't know. I guess you can have a computer sold that doesn't have speakers, but you know, I get this sometimes too. People write in and say, Bart, I can't hear the radio show. Well, if you can hear anything on the internet, you can hear the radio show. There's nothing tricky about the radio show. If you have Windows, whatever that's called, Windows Media Player, all you got to do is double-click on the link, and you got you some radio there. If you get anything, any verbal, any audio at all, you can get the radio show. There's no trick to it. You don't have to have any kind of special equipment or nothing. But since Clay doesn't get the radio, I packed him up some CDs and sent to him because he sent a nice donation. Thank you, Clay. But yes, gun control will kill us. We need to knock off the gun control. And the trick to gun control is reasonable. You know, it's like the speed limit used to be 55. That's not reasonable. If you're driving from Tulsa to Vegas at 55, my God, we drive 40 on the streets here. You know, the big streets in town, I don't know if that's probably true everywhere, but we drive 40. And the idea that you only get to go 15 miles an hour faster when you're out on the flat deserts of New Mexico and Arizona and Nevada and that, you can see 20, 30 miles in front of you. It's a straight, long road, no curves, no hills in some cases. And, yeah, and going 55, it's just ridiculous. So going from 55 to 70 or 75, that is a reasonable risk to take. I think owning a gun is a reasonable risk to take. But you don't need an AK-47. You don't need cop killer bullets. You don't need bullets that go through police doors. You know, you don't need grenade launchers. You don't need a clip that holds 60 or 80 bullets. You don't need these street sweepers, these little things that have the 1 or 2 inch barrel on them. You know, the shorter the barrel means you don't care where the bullet's going. That's a short way to say that. But that's why when a sharpshooter has a long barrel, he's got maybe 2 feet between the front and the back sight, because length will give you accuracy. So if you got for instance, Mrs. Bart's gun is a detective special, I think, with a 2-inch barrel. And that's because if she's going to shoot someone, he's going to be in the same room with her. She's not going to take a shot at some guy across the street. She's going to shoot someone who's coming towards her. And as the space gets intolerable, she's going to pull the trigger, I feel. Glocks don't have barrels on, so that doesn't count. But as a rule, yeah, the deal with guns is like with speed. You just got to be reasonable. Same with drugs. Marijuana ought to be legal, but you don't need cocaine in every kid's hands. You don't need LSD. I don't know much about ecstasy and some other drugs, but actual habit-forming drugs, which I guess includes, I don't know if it includes cocaine or not. Can you be addicted to cocaine? I think everyone's going to say yes, but I don't know if that's true. I know you can be addicted to heroin. I know you can be addicted to speed. You can be addicted to other things. Not sure about coke, but certainly marijuana is not addictive. So, again, everything, all these dangerous things need to be looked at within reason. And when you people get upset about a gun, the gun is not the problem. The gun crazies are the problem. So, if we want to win an election, we're going to have to get off our gun phobia. I agree with Clay.